tonight, motherfucker, tonight. It is on. We are on. We are live. We are here. We are ready to rock and fucking roll. We got a whole set of shit popping off here tonight. We got my cousin calling in. We got that hot broad that he's training calling in. We got Tony the Truth back from the motherfucking grave of the hospital calling in. We got motherfucking, we got it all. What don't we fucking have? Okay, this is part two this week of tattoos. We're going to talk tattoos a little more because last week was the shit and a lot of people were liking it, so I'm going to fucking do some more of it. I'm going to look everybody out. We also got a cop, we got a judge, we got a redneck, right? For all you ICP fans out there. We got, let's kick right into it. So, we got a whole week that has come and gone, and it's still fucking going, by the way. It's still fucking going. Here we are, another week. A whole nother week of shit talking and mudslinging and shit we half the people out there don't really give a fuck about to begin with when you think about it. But that's okay. Who really gives a shit about half the stuff that's out there? Because I really don't. What I care about is what I've always cared about. And that's what makes me happy. Well, you need to think about others. Well, do I? I mean, do I? I mean, I know we're all one, but why do I need, why should I, who am I supposed to give a fuck about that doesn't give a fuck about me? So, whatever. It's a whole line of thinking. But with that being said, and with all of you out there, what do we have going on? Well, I'd like to give a shout-out to Tattoo Society Magazine, Tattoo Spirit Tattoo Magazine, and Rembrandt Orellana, who is a phenomenal tattoo artist. Sorry if I said that wrong three times. I had it right before I started the show. Look him up on Facebook, like him, follow him. He's phenomenal. Now, last week, and we're not going to talk the whole show about this, but last week we talked all about, you know, what makes you happy and why people get tattoos. Because, like I said, you are the reflection of yourself in this reality from the form of all creation. It's all about you. It's always been about you. Don't ever forget that. So when you have all this craziness going on, and I just mean what's going on in the world, you have to remember who you are inside, who you represent, and who you tend to want to be when you're being who you are. Now, I know I just talked in tongue-tied and tongue twists, but that's relevant. Who you are is relevant, and how you reflect yourself is also relevant. Some people like piercings. Some people like tats. Some people like both. Some people don't give a shit. Some people care too much about shit that they shouldn't care about. With all that being said, your tattoos are what you want them to be, reflecting on who you are. And that's okay. That's always been okay. It's never not been something that you don't want. And, you know, last week we talked all about the laws. We talked all about the rules and regulations. We talked about the, what did we talk? We talked about the PDF file that you can go online and look. We talked about the, my God, we covered it all. I mean, I know I'm a tongue tie, but we fucking literally hit every goddamn corner there ever was to hit on it. So that's important, you know? It's important to know what is reflecting, that you are doing that it's reflecting, and what you're doing to reflect yourself. So we're going to talk a little bit more about tats tonight. We're going to talk about the different tattoo shops, which is, you know, some tattoo shops are just, you know, an actual shop, or are some of them just garbage? And, you know, shit that you just can't get out of, you know, you don't want to be a part of, you don't want nothing to, you know, you don't want to be associated with some of it. You know, that's important. This stuff's important. So, you know, all these things are important. So with that being said, like I said, I gave a shout out to Rember Orellana, phenomenal fucking tattoo artist. Another phenomenal tattoo artist that I met at the Wildwood Tattoo Convention Center, this year, was a guy by the name of Joe Matiza. Shout out to him. Phenomenal artist. Phenomenal. You look at his work on Facebook. Follow him on Facebook. The name of his shop is called the Ink Junction, in Flemington, New Jersey. And there's also, he has a place known as the Kiss of Ink Tattoo and Piercing, which is his second shop. Wait a minute, is it the same fucking card I'm looking at here, or am I an idiot? I'm an idiot. It's the same shop. Kiss of Ink is the name of the shop. Yes, I'm sorry. Yeah, so Kiss of Ink is located in Trenton and Flemington, New Jersey. So give them a shout. Check them out. They're awesome. They're very good. Joe Matiza, who pretty much is booked all year long. He does those 6 month types of bookings. But he is, I guess, as they say, like a cover artist? He's not a cover artist. He does phenomenal work all the time on a lot of different things. But he does specialize in cover work. He specializes in covers. So give him a shout. When Tony calls up, Tony, I know, is going to plug two or three guys that we know are phenomenal in covering and in cover work and or just being a badass tattoo artist at that. So I kind of rambled here a little bit, but I'm trying to get to the point of, you know, these guys, now these tattoo artists, they try to portray your vision. At the same time, they're portraying their vision as well. You know, they want to make sure that you got to work, not they, I mean, you have to allow the artist to have some kind of freedom. Not so much freedom that they're going to do what they want on your tattoo, but you have to allow them to have a little vision of what you want, you know, because they are the artist. Unless you're tattooing yourself, which I do not recommend, you know, they have to have a little vision. They have to have, you know, they got to have a little freedom. They got to have the idea that what you want is also what they want. And when you do that, you understand, you know, who you are, you know, as a canvas. as a person. So with all that being said, we as people are also are all individuals. Caller, I see you're calling. Hold on, let me finish this monologue for another minute and a half, and I'll get you right on. You as a person, you know, are working hard all the time, and you're influenced by a lot of different things. And a lot of these things do come upon your vision, upon yourself. Like, you know, I have a buddy of mine who literally works 90 hours a week. He didn't always work 90 hours a week, but now he is working 90 hours a week. And then when his assistant comes back, he'll be probably back to 60 hours a week as opposed to 90, which is just as disgusting. But, you know, it shows the character of him and the person. And what I mean, you know, a lot of artists out there also do that. So does that, just because he doesn't tattoo doesn't mean he's not an artist. So all of you out there, I just want you all to know that just because you're not tattooing all the time doesn't mean you're not an artist. You know, a working person who works 60 to 90 hours a week is still an artist at what they do, especially if they do it well, like my friend. Let's see here. This threw me for a loop. And, well, any fucking day now, I hit the button and it's loading you on. Caller, you are on another Rude Monday with Rude Ron and Tony the Truth. Hello, caller.
Yo, brother, what's happening?
Ah, yeah. It's Armageddon, yeah. Ed, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I just wanted to call in and listen. I couldn't get to a computer, so I used your number so I could hear your outstanding show.
Well, thank you so much, sir. That just goes to show the awesomeness, ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen, Armageddon Ed is coming on here to give us all a shout-out and give all of you a shout-out.
Yeah.
Well, sir, how was your day?
Ew, you know, fun, fun, fun. Is the Truth on at this time? I heard you introduce the Truth also.
He will be on in about 3 minutes.
Yes. I'm giddy like a schoolgirl. I'll be able to get to a computer in a few minutes, so I'll be able to listen to you two gentlemen. I'm looking forward to it.
Nice. That's what we're talking about here. Excellent.
Yeah.
How was your day, sir? Did you have a nice day?
A completely uneventful day, my friend, you know, staying busy, just trying to keep the dream alive, brother.
Yeah, I know how it is, man.
Yeah.
I know.
So I see your topic of your show tonight, you're going to be talking about, well, I know you talk a lot of health and fitness. You talk a lot of, what's the crux of things tonight? What do we have to say? What are we going to hear?
Well, we were going to get into, this week is part two of, because last week I did a whole show dedicated to tattoos. I was, you know, Tony was supposed to call in, but he didn't. But he was on, as a lot of us know, Tony's battling some health issues. But so he was supposed to call in, but he was unable to. So I pretty much did all the legal end of tats, of the shops, you know, what the shops can do, what is needed. I got down and dirty and talked a lot of legal angles on it.
Nice.
And cleaned up a lot of myths and things like that when it comes to the law of, you know, in the sense of tattooing. And then, so that's tonight. Also, we have my cousin calling in with his guinea pig that he's got, although she's the furthest thing from a pig, this girl. This bitch is hot. And then he's calling in with his client who's training for a competition in, I believe it's November.
Is it bodybuilding or like that fitness modeling?
Fitness model.
Ooh, fitness models are sexy, bro.
I know.
Bodybuilder women are a little too big for me, but the fitness models, like the tone women, oh, yeah, that's what daddy likes.
Oh, yeah, all day long.
And the little pants. I like that. I think the bodybuilder, and it's not a sexist thing. I'm the kind of guy where I even think guys that are overly developed looks kind of ridiculous. It's good to have nice tone, be in good shape, but then there's sometimes when big is too big. They give you some of these guys on the internet, their heads look like peanuts because their bodies are so big.
Exactly. And then everyone out there needs to understand this is coming from a 6'3", 260-pound man who's talking right now.
I'm a lot of man.
So there's a lot of human beings on the other end of the line. But yeah, going for the fitness model type side.
Yeah, that's sexy.
Fucking awesome in its own sense, absolutely.
That's sexy. Are you going to be tweeting some pictures out or sending some pictures on Facebook later so we could see?
Oh, we will be.
Oh, yeah.
There'll be progress report pictures and everything else.
Now, this is your cousin, Frank. We're going way back. He used to play some football with us, right?
This is my cousin who did play in the town with us a little bit, yes.
Nice. Very nice. Well, tell Frank I said hey. I'll be listening, please give him a shout-out for me. But, all right.
Yeah.
Well, brother, if you want, I'll hang on until Tony comes on, listen to you talk.
He should be on here any minute. But I know
I miss my brothers. Do not. I am a blank canvas, my brother. I have no tattoos.
Right. But what I love about you is you don't discriminate against the people.
No, of course not. I mean, all my friends have tattoos.
Right. I have.
I am a minority in an elite circle of tattooed human beings, and I just happen not to have any tattoos.
Right. There's nothing wrong with that either.
No. As a matter of fact, I think the only two guys in our crowd that don't have tattoos are me and the kid.
Does Howie have any?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Brother Eric's got tattoos, Big Chris, Charlie, Howie, all the boys got tattoos.
That's right, yeah, we all do.
Yeah.
Well, everybody
I always said I'm not opposed. Yeah, but you know what it is? I'm one of these people that I can't stop at just one of anything.
Yeah.
So before you know it, I would pretty much look like the Illustrated Man. Every inch of my body would be covered. And not that I'm for it or against it, but I just know the way I am. I have an addictive personality. So if I was to get one tattoo, I would probably spend my whole life savings just becoming, you know, the perfectly tattooed human being. I'd be like one of those Yakuza guys, right? Because they're wearing like the shirt and tie and they look totally normal. Yeah, and then the second they pull off like one article of clothing, it's nothing but tattoos on their body. I think that's pretty cool, actually.
Yeah,
those dudes are badass.
They are.
You know one thing I'm not in favor, though, of? I'm not a fan of the guys who get the Chinese writing and only to find out later that what they think it says. How many times have you heard about that happening, you know? Where they try to explain it and they find out that, you know, the tattoo artist didn't really know the right explanation of it either?
No. That's why it's awful.
Ooh. Or how about on Facebook? The guy found that his girlfriend was cheating and he was a tattoo artist, so he put a steaming pile of shit, tattooed it on her back with flies buzzing around. You hear about that?
Wow, no.
Yeah, you wrote like cheating whore or something like that on her back, and then she sued him.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I did not hear about that. I can't say I wouldn't do the same thing. I would not do the same thing. She's like, oh, yeah, finish my back. You know, I'm like, okay, you fucking cunt. And then you fucking cheating whore. That's definitely what I would put on there. I would put cheating whore on there.
Oh, God.
Oh, dear Lord.
I love it.
Dear Lord.
I love it. Yeah,
man.
It's great.
And
I got to tell you, I got to love the program you got here on the scene. We still got House Armageddon. You got Baron. You got you. I mean, there's an eclectic group of psychopaths on this channel. It's growing by the day.
There is, bro, and it's only getting fucking scarier by the week.
Yes, sir.
It's getting scarier.
Well, Jersey in itself is a pretty scary place.
It is a pretty fucking scary place. Yeah, really.
Yeah.
Now, me and Tony were talking before the show, we were going to talk a little football, because football season is upon us, my brothers and sisters out there, my minions, my dedicated listeners, and my archiving listeners. Football is upon us, and we weren't going to try to talk mainly about the individuals who are out there right now, because it doesn't matter, because
okay.
Some of them will probably fucking be cut by the end of the week, so it doesn't even matter, really.
Mm-hmm.
But we were going to talk about what me and Tony were talking about is how some of these guys, like the cornerbacks, the CBs, they don't even fucking like really give a shit. It's like they don't even play the position anymore.
Yeah.
Like there's real no Deion Sanders out there. You know, I mean, we got Richard Sherman, who's a fucking bum, but for the most part, like, there isn't really anybody out there dominating in that position anymore. So, like, me and Tony were talking about how, you know, just those guys in those positions need to pretty much be thrown under the bus.
Okay. I see some live tweeting
fact,
in the future about this.
Yeah, I believe that needs to be done. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, my co-host, my brother in arms, Mr. Tony the Truth, once it clicks over, is on the air. Tony, what's up, buddy? Hello, caller 617. Tony. And you're done. Caller 617.
I can pretend to be Tony. Hey, yo,
yeah.
Rude Ron, it is me.
But, you know, I can't really talk right now.
It is me, the truth. I am here. Right now,
Tony,
he's saying somewhere. Fuck those guys. I don't sound like that. Fuck those guys.
He actually sounds like this over here.
Truth, call in, brother. Before I hop
Tony,
off the line, I want to say hey to brother Truth.
I guess, I don't know, it's not working. I clicked over, but it's not him. 617-596 phone number, hello.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I don't know. Truth.
I don't get
Truth,
it.
are you out there, Truth?
Trey's going to try to call back in a second.
All right, so football players in general just suck. Don't get me wrong. I'm a diehard Giants fan. I'll watch a Jets game. I even like the Miami Dolphins a little bit. I fucking hate the Eagles, and I really don't care for the Patriots either.
I know. Oh, God.
Yo, I don't know what's up. A lot of people love the Patriots. I don't know. And you know what it is? They won the Super Bowl last year, so now everybody's got a Patriots hat or jersey. Crazy.
Yeah, I noticed that. Something. Yeah, I know. Everybody's on the fucking ball, on the ball again because they won the Super Bowl. Like,
yeah.
I don't know.
I like the emblem. I like the red, white, and blue. I like the idea of the Patriots. I like it, you know, but I just don't like the Patriots.
Nah, me neither.
Yeah, fuck them.
Fuck them.
Just like Eli fucked them. Eli owns
twice
Tom Brady's soul. I love it. I love it. Truth, I hope you can hear what I'm saying right now. Eli Manning has his way. Owns Tom Brady's soul. Tom Brady's going to look fondly back in his career when people are like, Tom Brady's the greatest quarterback who ever lived. And then people are going to say, hey, remember how he could never beat Eli Manning in the Super Bowl? Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, just painful. Painful, painful.
Yeah, it is pretty painful, and you know what? I love it.
Yeah.
I love
because what's he got? He's been in 4 Super Bowls. And he's got what? No, he's been in 5 Super Bowls and has 3 rings, right?
Actually,
or 4 rings. 4 rings. Yeah, he's got 4 rings.
He has 6 Super Bowls.
Wow. That makes him arguably the best quarterback of all time.
I would say so. Look, just because Eli beat him doesn't mean like, Eli's no Tom Brady.
No, he's
when
not.
He's
not. No, when he's on, there's nobody better than Eli. But when he's off, everyone is better than Eli.
Tebow in there.
Hey, I like old Tebow. I really do. I like Tebow.
I do too.
I like him. He wants to pray on the sidelines. Good for him, man. Good for him.
Really?
I think people are way too upset about whatever. Yeah, I'm not trying to cause a political statement or here, but if you had 10,000 Muslims praying, nobody would say a word about it. You get one Christian guy praying on the side of a football field, and everybody goes apeshit. I don't know what's going on in this world. I'm really concerned. I don't get it.
It's kind of fucked up.
People made a bigger deal of wow, I forgot this nincompoop's name. What's his name again? Tebow, right?
Okay.
They made a bigger deal out of him praying on the sideline or doing, like, his little thing than they did, like, you ever see that movie with the baseball players and the guys doing, like, the voodoo and shit? They made a bigger deal out of that.
That's true.
What was that,
Major League
or something?
Right? Major League?
Yeah.
That was great.
Oh, man, I don't know. So, hey, Tim Tebow, good to see you.
Hold us right now. Tony, can you hear us now?
I could hear you before.
Oh, good. Thank God. Well, you weren't coming through, though.
No, for whatever reason, I got to the part where Eddie goes, I can start talking like him, you know, because him and Chaz think they can do me.
I love it.
The two of them together don't even equal half my physical prowess.
My physical prowess. Truth, my brother. How are you?
I'm all right. But I got to tell you guys, I kept calling back and kept calling back, and Blog Talk told me I can hold on and listen to the show, and then kept hanging up on me. So there's got to be an issue on that end.
There is a technical issue. Well, listen, you brothers have a good show. Have a good night. I'm going to be near a computer in a few minutes, so I'll be listening. But you dudes be cool, and I'm going to run back into the house here and, I don't know, start some shit.
Sounds like a plan, bro.
All right. Listen,
I have a good night.
You want for a few more minutes and talk shit on some more football, or?
Oh no, I know. I hate intruding on your show. I mean, you guys have a thing, and I have a way of taking things off course. I don't want to fuck your show up, man.
Well, I mean, here's what we'll do. Let's talk a little football now, and then we'll cut it back. I'll cut it back at the 9:40 mark. We'll go back to our tattoo segment, and then
okay.
So anyone who wants to call in and talk with Armageddon Ed, give a call in 347-857-3667. And
unless you told me the truth, and you'll keep getting mysteriously disconnected.
Yeah, just Tony's name, and you'll never get through.
Truth. So truth. Here's the thing. I gotta tell you, I've had the pleasure of playing ball with both of you gentlemen, and I have to tell you, Truth and I go back. Truth and I played ball together. How many years now? 25 years.
26.
26 years since we were nubs, man. We played football together back in the day. We were like pea sprouts out there. Me and this guy cleared out the band. We've gotten kicked out of games together, and I just gotta tell you, my fondest memory though of playing football is the taste of Gatorade when you put way too much Gatorade into a container. Back in the day, like this Gatorade you get in the containers today is not sweet enough, not sugary enough. Because even though the recommended manufacturer's dose of Gatorade to put in the thing is only supposed to be like two cups for like an entire drum of Gatorade, we would drop like the entire industrial size can in, and that's delicious. It's delicious.
It had to be so fucking sour.
Oh, it's so good. But tonight, I tried something new. I was actually going to tweet it, but I get nervous when I'm going to tweet things, so I don't want to start too much shit, because I think Gatorade's owned by, like, Coca-Cola, and I might actually need, like, them as a sponsor one day for a film in the future or something, so I don't want to start too much shit. But I drank this thing tonight called Lime Cucumber Gatorade. It was like my mouth was raped by an aloe plant. It was the most disgusting, heinous beverage I've ever had. No, not good. Not good.
I just got one question.
I know
I just got one question. How do you know what it's like to be raped in the mouth?
All right, so there was this one time where I was hanging out with Channing Tatum and Ron, and they got me drunk, right? And there was a lot of lotion. I don't want to get into it. It's way too painful.
You know, Channing wasn't there, but it was just Ron. I know how the story goes.
I'm serious, man. This lime cucumber stuff. Oh my god. Oh, dude. First of all, when you put your nose into the cup and like you're drinking, and you go to like angle it back to actually drink the beverage, this. I don't know. I don't really have a problem with cucumber either, but it just smells like I'm lost in like a farm of some kind.
I remember this story. Wait a minute, Tony. Hold on. Because I want to know if you were there. I remember this story Eddie told me about. I don't know if it was the football team, or I mean, like in high school when you guys were together, or if it was the town beef thing where I think it was when you went to the Chinese buffet, guys pulled the fucking chairs up to the fucking buffet line.
That was actually
getting a plate. They pulled the chairs to the buffet line.
That was Mongo and Charlie and Lou.
Yeah, Mongo that was a true story.
Mama walked away with a whole tray of meat. What was it, Eddie? Ribs, right?
Yeah, it's a Chinese buffet now, but it's on Route 72 in Manahawk, and it used to be either a Ponderosa, I think it was a Ponderosa Steakhouse.
Ponderosa.
It was the one where you would get like the steak brought to your table, but while you were waiting for the steak, you could go up and help yourself to the buffet. Well, these crazy maniacs would pull a chair up and just start eating chicken wings right out of the friggin' thing. Oh, it was insanity. Absolute insanity. A matter of fact, I think the reason that Tony was always there. He was supposed to be at school 80 miles away, but he spent more time with us.
Has to go to classes with Charlie Rula.
Oh, God. So they pull up the chairs and start eating at the fucking thing. Well, hey, listen, after a hard game, why the fuck not, right?
Yeah. And then we did the same thing again when we played football years later for Town Beef, but it was a Chinese buffet now, and we try to relive the memories. And the Asian people at the Chinese buffet get upset when you walk away with a whole thing of, like, you know, spare ribs and bring it to your table. They frown upon that.
Oh, nothing beat the time. Nothing beat the time we all went to the White Castle and each got a Crave case.
Oh, forget about that.
Oh,
I don't know. Rude Ron might have been with us for that trip. I was the season before Rude. That was the inaugural season. Ron started playing the next year.
Right.
Yeah.
That was when we used to go up there with Bubba and Mongo. And then, oh, yeah, we went over there to that White Castle in Sayreville. And, like, no lie, each guy pretty much damn near took out an entire Crave case.
No, here's the funniest thing, Ron. Ron, this is the funniest thing you don't understand. We hit White Castle before the game, and then get back by my house in Tom's River and hit the White Castle by my house.
Yeah, but we ate light on the ride there. We only ate about 10 White Castles before the game. We ate close to 30 after.
Bunch of lot asses.
Oh.
You didn't do anything right. But that inaugural season was the season you missed out on, Ron. We had fights in parking lots. That team from Trenton, they just wanted to have, they were full of gangbangers. They just wanted to fight and shoot.
Listen, I want to give a shout-out. I don't want to talk too bad about Town Beef, but I have to tell you, Town Beef now has evolved into the A7FL.
We know.
7-on-7's Tackle Football League. And the guys that run that league, I know we had our run-ins with them because they were the guys that ran the league, and they did beat us in the championship with their roster of, like, 60 guys. I get it. Matter of fact, I had DeBalls on my show, and we used to be on the AM network, the AM-FM network down in Winslow Township. And I even told them we were talking about the league and everything. Anyway, we've evolved past that. And I'm really proud of those guys. They're playing in like 7 states now. They're actually coming up with like a national championship. And it is a great high-paced game. And it is cool to watch because, truthfully, the play has evolved. You don't really see like the gangbangers out there anymore, the hicks straight off the farm. Like, these guys are, I don't want to say better ball players, but I would say probably more disciplined ball players.
Interesting.
I've seen some of their highlight reels and things like that. They are good now. Like, you know, they got their little uniform. They're more organized. But I got to tell you, as far as pure talent, we had Big Nig on our team, which was one of the quickest kids I ever seen. They had Brian.
They still put his kid. Matter of fact, they still both have their pictures on the website. I mean, they got our pictures on the website too, but they still have them like in banner ads and stuff. There were definitely some great athletes in the couple early seasons in Town Beef. And like
don't
I always say, and I put on...
Drama.
Oh, that, Drama that, was 18, awesome.
18 years old, could throw 75 yards like it was nothing.
Yeah that's no joke.
A college scholarship.
Yeah, he was legit. And then there was Sal. Sal was our wide receiver. That kid was legit. I mean, we had some real ball players on our team. We really did. And then Tony and I just played O-line all the time, and Chris played D-line. And then we'd interchange on D. And I tell you, we had a really good, solid team. If I could
We played more than Chris did. Chris was
no,
spotty, calm.
He'd play like 2 or 3, you know, downs of defense, and then he'd sit out. But you know what, though? You got to admit, he ran like a kid moved like a truck. He did. He was fast, powerful.
He did, but it would have been nice to have him at more games. I mean, let's face it, if he didn't want to come, he didn't come. He's sort of like our good lost boy. That's what I think I'm going to call them, the lost boys. You know, like Ryan Lockney, always missing in action.
You know what the problem was? Because we were traveling about 2 hours to get to the games from the Atlantic City area every week to the games. And we would pick up guys along the way because Truth lives somewhere in the middle. And we'd come and get him along the way or he'd meet up with us. We'd travel about 2 hours to go to the games. And we'd always wind up playing the team, Sayreville. They had 50 guys that all lived within 3 minutes of the field. I mean, they wake up, rub the crusties out their eyes, and walk over to the field, and we had to start our day out. Dude, and we had some guys on our team. They didn't have cars. They didn't have licenses. They were hungover from the night before. They were ballers. They could play ball. But I had to run into, like, you know, Brigantine to go pick guys up, and then drive from Brigantine back to Atlantic City, from Atlantic City all the way up to Sayreville. I mean, it was a bit much. For like an 11 o'clock game, For an 11 o'clock game, I had to start gathering guys up at like, 7 in the morning.
Well, when our guys did show up, they were so hungover.
Two
in particular that just wanted to take naps for the first half in their truck. I'm going to take a nap, okay there, Bubba? Let me know when you need me.
Yeah, any of our listeners out there, check out the old videos from the Town Beef League. And
if you want to see my ass, look at the videos.
That's true. In the first season kickoff, you see Tony running with the ball and get tackled, and you totally see his ass hanging out. Tony's ass circa 2006.
It's the best looking thing anyone's ever seen on the internet.
Just think, dude. I bet you there's a good chance that like some old perv has beat his meat in slow motion, checking your ass out running down the field. How does that make you feel? Some old,
beautiful,
sweaty,
beautiful
basement living perv.
Obviously, you put some thorn into this. So, are you the old basement living perv?
I ain't old yet.
Oh.
I'm a rapidly approaching middle age perv. Trust me, dude, I never beat my meat your ass on the field. Trust me, that's never happened. But if you look like Channing Tatum, I'm sure Ron would be happy to.
Oh, by the way, talking about Channing Tatum, has anyone seen that he actually came out and admitted he's gay?
Oh, he has not. Dude, that's one of those fake rumor things.
No. He was on Ellen on Wednesday morning. And came out and said that he's been a bisexual for the last 10 years. His wife was actually sitting with him. They have shared the same lover for the last 5 years.
No way.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, watch Ellen. That. Go watch Ellen's highlights. You'll see Channing Tatum there. And you will see that he announces he's been with this guy for 5 years, and his wife, they're all down with the same thing. And his wife is phenomenal.
Jenna Dewan or Dewan, whatever her name is, she is gorgeous. She really is gorgeous. She's like,
she doesn't even need
gorgeous.
When she looks like that, you don't even need any. Just, he came out. I was like, I'm so glad I didn't get the, I'm glad I didn't have to dance with him at the 50, in the what do they call that? At the Pocono.
Channing Tatum admits he's attracted to men.
Yes, that's what. He actually came up with the whole concept of redoing.
He's actually bisexual.
Yes. But, Ron,
God.
That's okay.
So,
we
Ron, you got a shot.
Are.
Yeah, you got a shot, bro. Things looking good for you.
Here's the thing. I would do it just so I could bang his wife.
Oh, my God.
You know what I mean? Like, how awesome would that be?
Oh, no. This conversation has gone way in the wrong direction.
Yo, let me tell you, way in the wrong direction. Listen, I'd shoot him and bury him in the backyard for that opportunity.
No, I'm
not going to do anything.
I ain't threatening anyone's life.
I'm not doing what Ron just suggested.
But I'll tell you one thing, though. I wish I looked like Channing Tatum, because you know what? Channing Tatum had an offer from that girl, the one that plays on that Game of Thrones, the blonde. And she's like a brunette. She plays the new Sarah Connor. I forget her name, in the new Terminator movie. And she said that she'd like to have a three-way with Channing Tatum and Jenna Dewan. Dude, I would be all over that. All over.
See, now here's the thing. If you're the lover that they both share, you'd be in that four-way.
I don't want the four-way. I just want the chick from Game of Thrones and Jenna Dewan.
I know, but the only shot you would have is being the third wheel lover. Remember, they share.
Listen,
John's like, you know what? I just don't want you tonight. I want to bang this guy. Like, you could just be like the guy on call.
I think the whole thing's just too complicated. I don't understand the whole thing.
I'm just trying to make it okay.
All right, we'll find a way to make this okay.
Let me explain to you how this works. Because I watched Ellen, I couldn't believe it. I was like, what the.
First of all, dude, you got some issues if you're sitting around fucking watching Ellen.
Yeah, really?
I can tell you I've never seen a single episode of Ellen. I've never watched Ellen. You're one of those people. Let me guess. You're all caught up on Jerry Springer the bald-headed dude on his show. How many times have you seen a commercial to sue somebody? When you sit around and you can't get an erection, you probably go, I know exactly who I can sue.
No, I don't. Not about who I can sue, but I know where I can buy Cialis. I got a good hookup on Facebook.
Oh, man. You can sue for anything these days. You guys ever see these commercials on during these shows? You can sue for anything. Oh, if you wake up in the middle of the night with an itchy throat, you can get money from such and such because they've poisoned you. I mean, it's crazy. And think who they're playing to. They're playing to people that actually have time to sit around during the day and watch Ellen.
I want to say this. Wait, hold on. I want to say this about why I watched Ellen. Okay? I watched Ellen because for the last, let's see, 45 days I spent 35 of them in the hospital. So there's not much to do there.
Yeah, your TV choices are limited. I get it. And I know they frown upon masturbating when you're in the hospital. So
No. I have free will at that, you know. Matter of fact, my orderly came in to help me a few times.
Oh, man. How's Stan doing?
He said I was breathing heavy, so he gave me a hand.
Wow. This is a totally different conversation than I anticipated. Oh, my God.
All right. Can we get back to football, please?
Yes, football.
Okay, so.
Oh, yes, I caught the tail end of praying. But I want to say one thing about praying on the football field.
Oh, you're going to say some bad shit? Go ahead. I prayed on the football field. I have no problem.
Listen. I just want to say I stick up for Tebow, and I know why he had to pray on when he was a Florida Gator. Because his tight end was Eric Hernandez.
Is that the guy, the Patriot, who killed a bunch of people?
Yep. When you know your tight end is a killer, you better pray you up for them all.
So Tebow's tight end was that guy?
Yes.
Wow.
Tebow's tight end was Eric Hernandez.
Dude, Hernandez is an idiot. I'm going to tell you, I didn't know his name was Eric.
Yes, and you know what's funny is that they both won the championship together.
Yes, they did. If you watch the end of it.
They went 2 years in a row. They won one and they lost one in like the final, like, went fucking for some odd
name. And Tebow hooked up with Hernandez for the winning touchdown.
Yeah.
If you watch the video, you'll see them give each other a hug. Now Tebow won't even say two words about Hernandez.
Bro, let me tell you something, all right? These football players make so much money. But I don't care what anybody thinks or anybody says. If you're involved in a lifestyle of crime and these people are your family and they're your people and you manage to graduate to the NFL, you are out of your fucking mind if you continue to live that lifestyle. Because everything is so catered to a professional athlete. And you got to go out there for the quick score and be behind killing people. There is not beef enough on planet Earth worth killing somebody when you have that kind of money because you can move anywhere you want or do anything you want. You are more than capable of getting away from that lifestyle.
Oh, absolutely. I think he's a total fucking moron. He blew a six-year, $60 million deal.
Yeah, I had no pity for that guy in any way, shape, or form. Now, what gang was he diving with? Like, who was he with? He was like a Blood or a Crip? What was his deal?
Neither. Here's the thing. He has a tattoo that goes around his hand that says sweat, blood, and guts. And the news kept pointing out only the blood on his hand until, you know, the courts actually released a video of his actual full hand. You've seen sweat, blood, and guts with the football as being the center of that. So he's saying in football, there's sweat, blood, and guts to play football.
Oh, well, then that's even worse then. If he wasn't affiliated, because at least you could say if he was affiliated with these gang people and he could say, well, no matter how much money he had, these people could still come after him and you know, you can never leave that lifestyle. If he just chose to hang out with a bunch of, you know, remorseless douchebags, well, then he'd deserve every ounce of what he got.
Wait, hold on. We actually know a little bit more about the trial than most people because, let's face it, the media doesn't cover everything. They always cover the angles. That's why they always show like. Listen, yes, he killed him, but I want to say a little bit more about this. Listen, I will explain it to you. Okay. Look at his hand. They only wanted to focus on making him look like he was a gangbanger with the word blood on his hand. But we didn't show you the guts and the blood. I mean, the guts and shit like that. But his girlfriend that he was engaged to, that he has a kid with, her sister's boyfriend was this kid that he killed.
Okay.
That kid is a notorious gangbanger.
Okay.
So he was trying to extort him and beating up his girlfriend's sister and whatever. And so be it. Who the fuck cares? He killed him. He's a dummy. He lost his life. He lost his career. Yeah, fuck him. Okay? But let's not forget, they also have him on two other murders in Boston. They have him on three murders in Florida. After they try him in Boston on these other two, they're going to bring him down to Florida, where Florida already said, when we get him, we're going to ask for the death penalty. That is six people in the course of 4 years.
I think that technically makes him a serial killer.
Well, no, a serial killer kills by the same means. He killed by the same means by shooting them all with the same gun. That's how smart he was. But a serial killer is more particular. It's done for a reason. It's done a certain way, not just pulling out guns and shooting people and leaving one in a car and leaving two in the swamp and leaving one in the trunk of a car and then shooting two on the street in Boston outside of a strip club. I mean, let's face it. The NFL needs to come out with a better policy on recruitment. Just because, I mean, he scored very high on his Rorschach test for the NFL.
Okay.
He's got one of the highest scores the NFL has ever seen.
Isn't the Rorschach test that when they look at the shapes and it tells you if you're psychotic or not?
Yes. He's got one of the highest scores.
I don't think you take that in football. You take the, what's the name of the test you take as a football player?
You take the IQ test.
You do take the Wunderlich test, though.
The Wunderlich test. Take the Rorschach test.
No.
The Rorschach test, you look, it's like ink blots, and if you look at it and you see, like, you know, people raping guppies, then there's something wrong with you.
No. Listen. They implemented the Rorschach test after Pac-Man Jones was in the football league. The reason why they do that is because he scored very low on it, and he was always in trouble with the law. So they implemented that test.
I'm so not up on football players. If they don't play for the Giants or Eagles, I pretty much don't know who they are.
They're using that test to see what kind of – a Rorschach test kind of can tell you behavioral patterns, if someone's a sicko or not, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So he scored very high. So we know if
you
score high on
that
test.
For sure. We all sit back and we take the Rorschach test with, like, an actual psychologist.
I can't. I'm already deemed a fucking nut.
There's got to be a way to church it up. Everything looks like, you're like, oh, it looks like a pretty pony.
Trust me, they're seeing ponies on an ink blot. You know what I just said? Just look at him and go, looks like a pussy. Looks like a butterfly.
Yeah, that looks like a fucking twat.
That looks like a pussy bleeding. Pretty pussy in the metal.
It's 9:48, fellas, so I'm going to run in here. I don't want to tie you up for the rest of your show. You guys are the best. I hope one of these nights we can get another House Armageddon on a Wednesday night. I just got to check the calendar at work. But you guys be safe, and let's cheer for this Wednesday.
We'll see what we can do, Mr. Armageddon. We'll be looking forward
to it. Thank you,
my
brother. Rude Ron, thank you for having me on. Truth, thank you for having me on. Everyone out
there,
RSC Radio. I'll talk to you all soon. Be safe. Later.
Yeah,
later.
Thanks for calling into this Rude Monday. So long, sir.
Thanks, brothers. Later.
Later.
Later. So, wait, they added the Rorschach test after Pac-Man Jones because he was a moron?
No, Pac-Man Jones had if you remember, he was always being arrested. He's the only NFL player to get arrested like 60 times. Yeah, he got arrested just for his name. I mean, he's the asshole that bought the pink Cadillac and drove it onto the field, if you remember.
Yeah.
Right at halftime, like, fuck, I'm Pac-Man Jones. No shit. Dude, you're an idiot. So, they implemented that test because the Rorschach gives you a behavioral analysis.
Mm-hmm.
And it can tell you thinking patterns. And apparently, if you score high, it's not a good thing. You want to score low. Let's face it. Anyone that's seen ink on a piece of paper, you pulled in half and smear it together, it always looks like a butterfly. Or a crushed fucking...
It's just a butterfly. They all look like butterflies. So I that would be
they all look like butterflies or crushed fucking grasshoppers.
Take your pick.
This is true.
It's a French grasshopper or it's a fucking butterfly. Oh, I see a pussy. I see a tampon. I see a fair maiden waiting on a knight on a horse. This guy's got fucking problems.
Oh, God.
Yeah, but you know what? I think it's funny, though. Yeah, I mean, when he started talking about Tim Tebow praying on the field, you know what? He got a lot of shit for that, but you know what? I commend him for it. I mean, if it's his faith, well, I just want to say, one time I want to see the losing team just look at God and go, fuck you, thanks for helping us out today. That would be classic.
Yeah, it's funny. And, yeah, it's funny how they all pray when like they make a fucking touchdown as well, they do something. But you know, when they lose, they all just hang their heads and walk out.
Yep, they don't go, God, how come you weren't with us, you bastard?
Yeah,
and
really,
this is from the guy who, I go to church every Sunday, so I mean, I actually found religion again. I thought it was lost. Apparently, I found it in the back of some guy's van, on Delancey Street. So. My ass is feeling better, but, you know, I saw God. Not that funny. I was trying to make an Eddie rape joke. Well, I guess Eddie's the only one that can make his rape jokes.
No, the one you did was pretty good.
All right. Now, let's get on to our show. Enough about the football and you know, talking like this, thinking you're talking like me. Because Chaz Barber can never be. Chaz Barber, if he stood on stilts, couldn't be half the man I am.
This is before or after he needs a fucking ladder to get a book off the shelf. We love you, Chaz. Chaz the Magnificent, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. The magic of Chaz Barber, who actually just came back from Vegas. He did a little stint out there in Vegas, and he did his own show. So a little shout-out to him on that. We love you on that. But
what did he do, at the YMCA?
Yeah. That was fucking awesome.
Hey! I'm only nitpicking on Chaz because
that was funny.
I'm only nitpicking on him because it already got back to me. He was trying to make fun of me with my voice a couple of weeks ago. It's all in kind, good, loving, fun, and I don't want to piss him off too much. I don't want to piss him off too much because you know his wife does have that beautiful, lovely friend with the sleeve tattoo. I mean. That girl would have stopped short. Absolutely. Right. If that girl would have stopped short in front of me, my head would have went fucking so far up her ass, I would have been tasting the tonsils. if she said, come and get it, I'd run from here. Okay. I'd be there in 20 minutes. Okay, now let's get on to what topic we're going to cover now.
Tattoos. We can go back.
Let's
to
talk
our
about
tattoo this. Part. Yes.
Let's
yes.
go
let's
back to our tattoos.
Part two. Yes. Let's finish up part two of tattoo week two. Part two. Last week we talked all about legal ends and where to find these things and so on and so forth. But this week we're going to talk about caring for tats and we're also going to talk about. Where Tony, you were telling me the difference between a standalone shop, I think it was, and just a shop.
No, I was talking about the difference, how you can tell between a stand-up.
A stand-up shop. A stand-up shop, did you say? And we don't know what's happening to Tony, so that sucks. Tony, can you hear me? Boo. All right, well, ladies and gentlemen, that's just the nature of the beast. Sorry, but Tony will probably have to call back in a minute. He can probably hear me, but Tony, if you're trying to speak, we can't hear you. So I don't think you were dropped. I don't know what's going on, but you are not on the air at the moment. allow me, ladies and gentlemen, to take back over as I am the host. I will do what I can. So here we go. So, did anyone hear about this show? Wait. I saw this thing here. What the fuck is this? Never mind. Don't even worry about it. We're talking about tattoos. In the sense that, back to, I can go right back to my monologue and talk about it. Remember when I was saying that, you know, these tattoos, they are about you. And I know I keep going into that and talking about it over and over again, but I want that to really be known. Because, you know, when you meet a new artist, you know, like for example, when I was 18, I got my first tattoo. 6 months later, I got another one. 3 months later after that, I got another one after that. So I had 3 tattoos within like a year, like less than a year's time. After that, I went 18. I went 10 years before I got another tattoo. Another tattoo doll. I was 28. So I had the 3 that I got. One I regret. Well, I don't regret. I can live with it. I got 3, and then 10 years later, I had to get another one. So with that, I had to get, like I said, I got another one at 28. My girlfriend got it for me. My girlfriend at the time got it for me for my birthday. And, it was awesome because I don't get tattoos in the summer. I only get my tattoos in the wintertime because in the summer you can't go outside. You can't go to the pool. You can't go to the beach. You can't go in the water. You can't fucking do anything when you get a new tattoo. You can't have it exposed. So, like, the next one I want to get on my leg. I wear shorts all the time in the summer. Even into mid-fall, I wear shorts and, like, a hoodie. So, like, what the fuck am I going to do? So, you know, that's just what it is. So, I get all my tattoos in the winter because it's cold out and you can cover up and it's not a big deal. With all that being said and being known and being mentioned, fuck, where was I going with this? Oh, you know, I went 10 years.